And welcome to another edition of Amana Podcast. This is our 12th podcast. Amana is a collective of people, places, and things, and actions that transcend us. Living in your higher virtues, looking at what takes you off track, and how do you get back on, and how do these values lead your life. And today it gives me great pleasure to be with my dear friend, Jesus Garcia. Say g'day, Zeus.
Hey, Mark. G'day. All right, Aussies.
So I've known Zeus for over 20 years, and in fact, I knew him before I met him. He worked for John Roger on his staff, and I used to get videos, VHS videos sent to my home in Sydney, Australia, and I would see these moments of peace where these guys would be traveling, not just Zeus, but lots of people with John Roger around the world, doing light work. And Zeus always stood out to me because he was always close to JR. And I remember looking at these videos saying, my gosh, these guys are living my life. How do I go do that? And it took me several years, but I finally met you, Zeus, up at Windermere. And I went to shake your hand and you hugged me. And I went, what a lovely embrace. And that's where we kicked off. And
that was the last time I hugged you, you bastard.
Probably. No, not at all. And so Zeusa and I have lived together, worked together. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. We know each other inside and out. So talk to me, Zeus, about your virtues, your values. What do you care about in this life and what's important to you?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you. I like to see you coming out and doing your work because you're such a big heart, a big minister in there, and a good, you're a funny dude. We had great times on staff. We were all hanging out together. One of our friends passed away, which it just brought up during his memorial. Mark was there, and so what are we going to do? We're just going to make jokes. And so we had to take it outside because it was... some people were obviously devastated. We were shocked, but we knew that Eric was going to a great place. But I think, you know, I remember that's the one thing that you have, that we're not any special elite group, but it is like a Spartan or a type of warrior that seeks and then puts the intention and gets it and manifests it. And you did that. We all did, because our goal was to be with JR.
Yeah.
Our teacher. So that I was already chasing the movie business. JR helped me a lot during, it wasn't about me being, I learned finally at 57, going to be 58, that it wasn't about being a movie star, but that it was about the journey and what my soul needed to learn, and ego, and everybody needed to learn in here. And it was the journey of not the goal that I climbed the mountain, but man, on the way to the mountain, I met great friends, made good money, learned some stuff that I don't want to do. And I shifted in 2010. I don't want to be an actor. It was nothing better than to be with JR to learn that. Because he would say, yeah, go ahead and get it. You'll get that and this and that, and stay away from this. And then when you get that in person, which you've had, and Nathaniel and most people, when you get that in person feedback of a living master helping you develop your intuition, you start, because I'm going to get there with your question, is, we had feedback constantly about what was clear, not clear, so that when he passed in 2014, October 22nd, after you get through the grief, you start to develop an inner knowing that you knew was there, that you can totally lean on now. And that's, you asked me, what were the questions that the...
What's your higher virtues? Meaning, what do you value in this life? What do you care about?
What I value more than anything is my loyalty to my soul and how I listen to the inner guidance. I value that. If I lose that, it's like having a compass in my hand.
Yeah.
I think, didn't your stationery have a compass?
Yes, it's a navigation map is one of the tools that I use for...
That's exactly it. If you don't have your compass, I recently was in Miami and I talked to a Cuban that took off on a boat from Cuba, 31 guys, 7 years ago. And I said, did you have a compass? He goes, no, not until my friend used his fingers and the sun, but they were lost 7 days and they were almost in Mexico from the Gulf. Okay. So he used the compass, hung in there. And the best thing is that they had a good motor and water. And they made it after 7 days in Key West. And my thing is, I think the core is a compass. And my compass is a direct hotline to my teacher and God. And, you know, when I say God, I mean, everyone talks about intuition, which I do. I encourage people to really go down that road. And that goes into a direct unknown, because intuition comes like a little niggle. It comes like a, ooh. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then, of course, the mind comes in and goes, oh, but you don't have the money. Come on, man. Nobody believes you. You're full of it. Why would anybody listen to you? So that's, you know, that's our buddy called the negative power. I've become friends with it. I'm not fighting it. I don't go out to lunch with it. I just throw it a bone. So it, like a dog, it starts chasing the bone and I can go do something else. Intuition is direct. It's the direct knowing with God, with that part of us in the mind that connects directly to God. And it might sound like your own voice. And, you know, to me, it never, except when I'm really off, I'll hear JR go, don't do that. I could hear that. You know what I mean?
Or, like, do as you please.
Do if you please is like, hell no. Shut it down. And so, you know, we've had that training. And then the hardest part for us was letting go of the physical and then going in bed, getting into bed with the spiritual JR, which was, dude, I don't even think about the old days. I think about the nowness of that he is alive more than anything. That's why they always talk about Jesus is back, or no, Jesus is coming. No, Jesus is already here. If you just
didn't leave.
He never left. If you open your eyeballs and you're going, oh my God. You know.
Let's talk about this for a minute for our listeners. So I just did a podcast with Russell Bishop, and we spoke about what I call my inner committee, right? And my inner committee sometimes might have my intuition, my mind, my heart, my spiritual heart, but then there is an attunement to the soul. And I'm curious for you, how do you know that you're on course? And let's take it even further, is that the negative power, that the more, in my experience, the more aware I get, or the more attuned I get, the trickier the negative power can be, and in deceiving or finding ways to unhinge me, you know. And I recognize the negative power through either my addictions or stinking thinking. That those ones can kind of come easy. But I think as I found myself, when I'm in a higher attuned state, the negative power can be tricky, and it's like, can trick me like, oh no, go in this direction. So talk to us a little bit how you know your soul is attuning you in the right direction.
mainly loving is the key. So I graduated from Doctor of Spiritual Science. I've always been a fanatical wannabe lawyer, detective, CIA. It all works.
You're a great student, if I may say.
Yeah, I'm a great student of it, because you start writing. But remember, I got tricked the other day. A friend of mine goes, hey, isn't it possible that your suspicions and your controversies, the universe gives you what you want. So whatever you are playing the record in your mind, the universe goes, oh, he wants controversies, backstabbing, and betrayals. Let's give it to him. Mm-hmm. And it's manifestation. So if you want loving abundance, you know, you put that out. If you want suspicion, hurt, they'll get me, they're after me, I promise you, the negative power is as close as your breath.
Yeah,
it will give you what you want. You know, and we are enlightened beings. We're going to get it. We're going to, So be careful what you ask. Be careful what you think. Stinking thinking. You know, we do deflex. How I do it is I have a huge challenge, just like anybody else. I do not inebriate myself, number one, because I already have to go through my own negative thinking. Although I must say a good beer knocks the shit out of all that stuff. So, you know, a good beer, but that's why people get addicted, because you're having a beer every day because you're trying to get rid of the negativity, because you forgot the tools to get rid of the negativity, to go through it. So yes. Every now and then, in a blue moon, I'll drink just to drop a bomb on my mind.
And there is a beer called Blue Moon.
It's huh?
There is a beer called Blue Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
IPA, baby. Yeah. So I keep my wits about me. I'm totally sober. So the number two is listening is a good one. And you know, how I did it is I got rid of a lot of friends, and they're still my friends, but I got rid of a lot of, let's just say I took myself out of the circus of gossiping, negativity, and bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, don't listen to the news. Okay. Number three, don't read articles that are nothing but uplifting. If you do, if it's uplifting, do it. If it's not, get out of it. So now my bandwidth for the day is all about seeing good people, talking about love. How can I maneuver in this life? Because, you know, we're always walking, we're always treading on water up to our mouth and neck. So I've lowered the level of the water to my chest, maybe my waist, because I do what I want and I don't care what you think. And I don't want to talk to you if you ask me one more goddamn, you know, sorry if I cursed. If you ask me one more question about vaccinations.
Right.
If you ask me, if you tell me one more time that you hate Trump, I really don't care.
Yeah.
And part of it is what level of responsibility am I involved in? And I really don't care. Like 57 is gorgeous. I'm going to be 58 in October. And I'm looking, this is what I wanted, which is complete autonomy, rule over my own autonomy. It's like during COVID, I kept hearing the lockdown. I kept hearing, do not abdicate from the throne. Mm-hmm. And the throne is, be careful, Jared says, the God of opinion is like idolatry. So I stick to my own counsel. I ask permission to no one. And I apologize if I hurt your feelings. And then I move on. But I do not heed to anybody's counsel but my own. And that is that's the beginning of, like JR says, to thine own self be true. Shakespeare said it. It's in the Bible. You can bullshit anybody you want. I don't care. I do that. But I won't do it to myself.
Yeah. One of the things, as you're speaking there, Zeus, it's interesting because as part of our training, and tell me if you see it differently with JR, certainly there was no drugs or alcohol or inebriation going on. We were really living a clean, clear life. And one of the things that I really noticed with JR very often is the things that he would say no to. And I remember I would get excited, like, oh my gosh, it'd either be some Hollywood thing or some glamorous thing or some great restaurant. And he'd be just like, nope. And recognizing that he'd had so many experiences, he didn't need more experiences. And I was either attracted to whatever my attraction was. Mm. But even if he was attracted to it, he had that discipline of saying no. So I really appreciate how you're bringing that forth of like keeping yourself clean and clear by just kind of backing off, let's just call it the negativity. You know, and keeping yourself surrounded in the positivity of either people or information. It's an important discipline. Perhaps talk a little bit about some of the movies that you made with JR around the idea of spiritual warrior and your book, The Love of the Master.
Yeah, let me just address what you said. So, you know, I'm just calling in the light and asking JR to be with us, obviously. and the Christ and that energy that we work with. Okay, JR did it instantaneously. I'm trying to get there. But when I don't, it's like a compass needle. Somebody goes, hey, you want to go to dinner? My needle moves. Mm-hmm. And if it moves big, I go, yeah, sure. If it barely touches it, I say, now let me sleep on it. And I always end if God wills or for the highest good.
Yeah.
So I don't give my word out to nobody.
Such a powerful statement, you know, for the highest good of all concern or as God's will.
Huge, huge. Because hey, people throw, I work with David Allen's teachings.
As do I.
I love it. And so one of the things I don't do is I got that from JR as well. It's like the two are the same to me, is mind like water, key. I write my stuff down. I organize it where it doesn't bother me. If it's in my face, I got a deal. And one of the things that that was key for me is it's just really strong inside of me of like, hey, I got to sleep on it. And I say, when people say, they flippantly throw out statements like, yo, I'll call you Tuesday. That's not true. People don't call each other Tuesday. By the way, when someone does that to me, I have to flush it down the toilet because my mind's used to processing stuff the way getting things done is. Okay, that person said, I'll see you Tuesday. My mind goes, wait a minute, it's not in the calendar.
Yeah.
And then I have to tell it they don't really mean it. Moving on.
People still think I'm strange that I send out the calendar invites for everything. But it's just my nature. It locks it in and it's out of my mind.
On the contrary, you're doing the right thing because you're not thinking about it. Neither am I, because we work that way. It's done. I think
it allows us to stay present and not. And when that calendar shows up, that's when I've got to engage in that piece of informational person.
What's got your attention? Get it over with. Okay, you called me. We're going 1 o'clock tomorrow. Got it. I'll send you a calendar. Done. And then I get to have a great day yesterday after you sent me that. And so anyway, the movie businesses was incredible because it was a lot. It's where my karma was. So Jer really, I 1 year I had 80 rejections, And you're not getting anything, but I know that I'm sensitive and vulnerable, but I'm a rock because you can reject me. If you were to tell me, okay, I think it's true, I did all that to get here, I would say yes. I purposely put me in an area, I chose to put myself to incarnate and put myself in an arena in which everyone basically craps on you.
Yes.
But it's not personal. I listened to Mel Gibson's sharing about this. It's not personal, it's business. And at some point they're gonna flush you down the toilet. And it's okay. Everybody's in on it. It's good. And by the way, these are your friends in the business. So while you're in it, you're trying to get that role. And in it, JR always exposed the motivations, which eventually I graduated. So then I shifted the occupation. The motivation that I had for acting was I want to be recognized, worshiped, and approval. And those are the three daggers that kept stabbing me in the back until JR helped me just neutral and just get the movie. And he would always tell me, which is driving me crazy, he would say, follow the money. Well, because I wasn't a money, that wasn't my sacred cow. My sacred cow was recognition. He tried to pivot for me. And by the way, that's what I do now. I just follow the money, which I don't have an issue with money. So then therefore it's neutral for me. If I say, God, I want Mark to like me, I hope the audience here tonight really cares. I don't.
That.
Yeah, but I love you guys and I'm sharing the information, but I don't want to look at the reviews. I appreciate you asking me to do this. I'll do anything for you. You're my buddy. The learning was where I'm at now. I didn't realize it, but it was a lot of pain. It was, you were, I think you were there. I remember you went to one of the premieres of
I went to a few. Collateral damage.
Collateral damage. We were soldiers. And 9/11 hit, which took the wind out of the sails of anything I could have ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
It was like.
But we were involved in that. You know, so one thing I'd like to make a point of here, though, Zeus, and it's really kudos to you. And for our listeners who are new to this, and this is a more deeper topic into talking about my spiritual teacher and Zeus's spiritual teacher. He was a very special man, and to meet him in the physical was just, there's an energy that I have never seen anywhere else. And my best way of describing it is real magic. You know, I would hug JR and it was like going into an electric current. You know, there was just a frequency that I haven't experienced someplace else. Occasionally I'll find it in other initiates and things like that, but not to the extent that I found it in JR. And JR said, if I hug you, it'll change your life. And one of the things that you did so eloquently, and yet let's say not always, but certainly in sometimes a rough way, you have this beautiful charisma with you that allowed you to meet a lot of different people in Hollywood or wherever we were in the world. Your gumption and your courage, I don't even think it's courage with you. I think it's beyond courage. You've just got kind of very little filter to go up to someone and say, hey, come and meet my friend.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Because your purpose is so clear.
Yes.
You know, and I think when we were going through the Hollywood world, when we were going through the world and we'd see people on airplanes or in political arenas or whatever it was, you did that so well. And I was always so honored to see how you would take care of JR and yet put him in a place where people could be introduced to him and have the light be introduced to them in some form or fashion, however JR was doing that.
Yeah, remember he met Brad Pitt on the red carpet?
He met Brad. I remember him meeting Brad, and we were on that Along Came Polly set. And the best one for me was when he met Ice Cube. And
oh my God, I remember that.
And he was very sweet with Ice Cube. Is it Ice Cube?
Yeah, Ice Cube, dude.
Ice Cube,
and his career blew up after that.
He put his hand on Ice Cube's beard in the most endearing, soft way, as an older gentleman can. And Ice Cube, like, you know, reacted like, "Hey, man, what are you doing? Like touching me?" Although he didn't say anything. It was that.
He had like a jolt. Like he did. He hit him. I remember that. I thought, "Oh my God, we're gonna get shot.
We're gonna get killed." But you've had a real knack, and I'm sure, and you still do. I still see you from afar, really navigating into places like you just came back from Russia and going into places that I would imagine JR's paved away, but you're continuing to pave ways into areas or energies that you bring the light in. And I really am grateful for the way that you do that.
Thanks. And to throw him in, it was Michael Hubbard that grabbed us. We were at some party.
Yeah. And we were at Run Till That. It was they made the move that stand up.
Right.
Martin Lawrence. Yeah.
I'm sorry if I offend people, Black people, African American. They're all my favorite. I don't know what word you want, but these are all my buddies, our friends. So, Michael. That he's in the industry with Martin Lawrence. I knew Martin Lawrence. As a matter of fact, John Roger went to Martin Lawrence's, Beth and Hubbard and Michael Hubbard's wedding, and Martin Lawrence was best man.
Yes.
So Martin Lawrence has been kind of involved in and out with kind of running into JR. The Hubbards help him, Rainers. And that night it was like, yo, let's meet Ice Cube. And JR was like, sure. And it was like, I couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's really a way that in the way that we worked with JR is creating spaces for him to step into or protecting him from places that weren't necessary for him at that time. So, but going back when I was mentioning the movies, I was thinking more of Spiritual Warrior. So, if you could speak to maybe the idea of what a spiritual warrior is. and then your love of the master book.
Yeah, the Spiritual Warriors is my ego going crazy. But J.R. was amazing, and I get it. Like, finish this thing so that you don't have to reincarnate with your not getting your desires of this world. Mm-hmm. It's a tricky thing. Okay, so I got lucky. He gave me the money, and the presidency helped me, and we made this movie. And I remember the best feedback I got from the movie was like, dude, you're the most ambitious guy with okay talent, but very ambitious. And but when you look at it, and by the way, JR sanctioned the whole thing and helped me. If you look at it now, there's no other film than ours and a couple documentaries that got to the top of the pyramid and filmed.
Yeah.
It was literally impossible. And we, it's all JR. I just was the ego that did it. And we went to Syria before the Civil War. And we went to Jordan before ISIS blew up a big director in this great hotel that we were at. And I mean, it was the most amazing thing, you know. And I wanted to direct, which that got me to the Mystical Traveler movie, which would end up being the documentary to JR.
Yeah. And
after I did that, JR looked at me and he goes, you probably won't want to make another movie again. I said, you're right, I'm done. And that was it, I was done. And thank God, so I don't have to reincarnate and keep coming in here and saying, I want to make a director. I mean, and basically it showed me how to do leadership, be in charge, be a complete a-hole. All that I learned, but the biggest thing I learned on that movie, more than anything, was to follow my intuition. And the biggest thing, 2004, I heard David Rayner was directing, and I wasn't getting the thing that was really a sticking point to me, and I was depressed. And I had a dialogue with JR inside of me about how it would be when I got home. And JR would be in the living room saying, how did it go? And I would say, well, it went okay. What do you mean, okay? Well, David did this, and I wasn't like, I didn't stand up for myself and do it. And then I heard JR say, then you're an idiot. Mm. This is then you're responsible for it. And at that point I said, stop the bus. We're in the middle of Egypt. We're in the middle of Jordan in the Wadi Rum, sand everywhere. Stop! And it was a mutiny, and SUVs surrounded each other. And I'm the producer, so I'm the boss. Mm-hmm. But David's the boss as a director on the set. And Rick came on my side, and there was, you know, it was a mutiny. And we were about an hour in the desert. There's no roads. These are Land Rovers in dunes like Lawrence of Arabia. And I said, I've got to get my shot. And the shot was me in a Galabeya. I've heard John Morton talk about it, and JR's talked about it, of just wanting to walk into the desert and die.
Yeah.
With the thirst of God. So that gives me chills. And that was the shot. I mean, I didn't care about the movie. I cared about that shot. That shot made the movie. And David said, geez, I would have cooperated with you, except all I heard was, get the hell out of my way, you blah, 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 blah. And so then I started to learn how to communicate better, because David was in full cooperation. I just didn't know how to communicate. I didn't stand up for myself. So what happens is you build up this intensity, and then you yell at the person you love because you didn't share. You didn't just calmly share things, you know, you just let it build up because of the voice. You know, people don't express themselves. People don't let themselves be heard. Hey, David, I want to share something. You know, of course, that was immature Jesus, and I learned a lot since then. But I remember nobody was coming to the movie at some point. You know, the movie had an opening. I was depressed. Because all my friends, of course, filled the seats. After seeing it twice, nobody comes around anymore. And my friends are everybody in the movement, of course. So I have 300 come one night, another 300 another night. Okay, LA is about 1,000 something. It's over. We've seen it, Jay-Zu. Thank you. And JR, I went to New York. I was totally depressed. And you guys, I think you were there. And you guys called me. And JR was like, what's the matter? I'm like, I'm depressed. And he goes, why? He goes, nobody wants to see the movie. He goes, if one person gets the movie, then you've done your job. And I was like, what? And then he goes, you want me to come to LA, to New York? I'm like, please. So all you guys apparently came to New York and it began the circus that I started, which was JR fundraises for me.
JR brought some friends.
Yeah, JR. So here's the key. Whenever JR went anywhere, everybody would come. So it was
hey, JR.
I think we did Spiritual Warrior movie screenings for 5 years nonstop. And then people were like, people were coming up to me and goes, Jay-Zu, make another one, dude, come on. So we did The Way Shower. And then after that one, it was like, dude, you need to make another one. So we were making, during JR's retirement, we were making excuses to just get him out. Mine was movies.
Yeah.
Nat helped a lot in that. And Nat was the one that gave the idea of Nathaniel Charette, also worked on staff. And I came to JR, and Nat was always there in the meetings. It was just us three. And it was like, yo, JR, we don't want to celebrate your birthday at Prana. Let's do trips. You know, Nat and I were always like horses with bits in our mouths, reins, trying to get out in the road. And JR was sort of like weaning, just coming, but he did things for us. So Nat's like, yeah, JR, what about Israel? And then JR goes, okay. And I was like, get out. So I said, well, I want to run it, JR. And he goes, do it. And then, so we were off to the races. 2009, we went to Israel. And we screened, 2007, we screened Spiritual Warriors in Tel Aviv. Well, that's our first getting JR out long distance. Because he remember, he fell, he got hurt, 2004, you were there. He recovered. And so it took from 2004 to 2006, and we were off to the races. I mean, it never stopped until he died. He died a month after the big Israel trip in 2014. I thought Nat and I killed him several times, you know.
Well, I think he died many times before he actually really did.
He did.
Body pass. But
he was the most generous friend, teacher ever, because my life was over if I just couldn't travel with him, because it was some weird, I don't know. There's just something about traveling with JR, dude. And you know it.
There's nothing like it.
None like it. So I was like, oh my God, is this how it's going to be? He's this old and we're going to just die in the living room.
Well, let me speak to something about this, and let's throw a skill in here that JR exercised so well. And that is putting the light in front of you, surrounding yourself in the light, 8-foot cube of light, but then putting the light into what you're about to go into.
Yes.
And I want to make a comment or a story for you. One of my experiences with you, I should say. And this was, we were in Jordan, and I think we're around Petra. I think we were around, and you needed like a crowd for one of your movie shots. And you're like, how am I going to get this crowd? And, you know, I think you got so natural at it, Zeus, I must say, that you didn't even know you were doing it half the time. It's, even though I know you would do it consciously, it became a really good habit. Like, okay, I'll place this in the light, let's go. And I never forget this as long as I live, unless I lose my marbles and memory deflect that ever happens. But we hopped in a taxi cab at like midnight in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Oh my God, you were there with Rick?
Yeah. And then you had this taxi driver. He put on really loud Arab music, and we all had our windows down, shouting out of the windows, dancing. And you were like, I know where I'm going. Just follow where I point. And this taxi cab driver was like, awesome. He's like, yeah, man. Yeah. And so we're having this great time. And we ended up in this like Bedouin camp. And we meet this sheik, and he has multiple wives and lots of kids. And they became part of that movie set. Well, it wasn't just that we met this guy, because in that part of the world, people do stay up very late because it's very hot in the desert. So that's a time that people are actually awake. And he invited us all. There must have probably been 30 of us there at the time, to dinner the next night. And so we went to dinner the next night at this Bedouin camp and sat and ate and met their family. And it was a real lovely, lovely evening, and what a wonderful connection. And then, of course, they tried to sell us stuff as we left. But besides all of that, I mean, there is countless stories that we could go on about how that would happen. But I always saw you had such gusto of going forward and courage into environments like that, where I it wouldn't even cross my mind to think like that. It's one of my things that I just have such adoration for. And maybe share a little bit about your recent journey here, what you did in Bulgaria and Russia.
Yeah, you know, I kind of cried a little bit, because that experience set the tone of. Mm-hmm. You just follow it, you know, you follow it and don't forget it. And that night it was like, I got to see this guy. He's a sheikh. Remember, he was a sheikh. And he's a sheikh. He's the head tribe of that part. And I'm like, you got to get this guy. And we found him. We had tea with him that night.
Yeah. And but you really have. And kudos to you. And I look up to you in this. You really do follow the spirit, even when the normal may not appear as like, don't do that. You see it so clearly, and you don't even jump. You're already there, you know? And I think I give kudos to JR for teaching you that, because I see he did the same thing. I mean, that's, look at how he met Benji, you know, and we don't need to digress into that story, but Benji was our guide, and JR's guide, I should say, for over 30, 40 years. I can't remember the number in Israel and that part of the world, but it's this trust walk of trusting the spirit. And you just did it again. You do it continually, but I'd like to hear, for our listeners to hear, your more recent journey here.
Yeah, I just found it in my ministerial ordination, that an ordination is being ordained, and a blessing comes from spirit through the person and into you. And what I found was the willingness to do, you know, JR had a thing called the willingness to do gives the ability to do. Mm-hmm. And the thing at the very bottom of mine was, I found it, and it was like, there's a privilege and an honoring in your own willingness to step forward. Okay, so that's the key, duh, after all these years. That's a mental explanation of what instinctually I was doing. Which basically, you look, COVID was like a lockdown, dude. I'm sure you know, I learned a lot. We all did. And it was getting to me. And
it's still going on in many parts of the world. Hello, Sydney, where your lovely girl is.
Yeah, somewhat. So part of what JR taught us was intellectual honesty. If I have to look at that, I want to travel, then I have to look at maybe I need discipline and lockdown and do what everybody tells me. If I'm hearing that COVID's killing people, I must look at that it's not. I must look at it that there are people surviving it. So I look at everything, and then I look at the signs and everything and little things. And what happened was, my church, MSIA, said, oh, there won't be any trips. CDC, we're going to shut it down, you know, shut services and everything. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. Inside of me, that's not true. And JR, and my thing is with JR, not necessarily with the corporate thing of MSIA. And then I went to John, the traveler, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to keep doing initiations. And he said, cool. And then I did it all over the US and Europe. You couldn't go anyway. It was all, they shut us out, if you recall. Yeah. Like Sydney right now. I was in Sydney March 16th, 2020. Just as all hell broke loose. I was the last flight. I think John was in another flight, but we all left. Sydney was completely open. And then 1 minute, oh my God, we get into LA and everybody's gone. Toilet papers are gone. I'm like, By the way, in Sydney, in March, at the conference there, it was so free. Everybody's like loving each other, no masks. I get to LA and it's like the world ended over here.
Yeah.
And so when I took off, when I checked with JR, and there was at least over 50 initiations to do in Europe, including Russia. And I was initiated in Russia by JR and Syria. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going. And is it clear? Basically, I go inside. Is this clear to do? And it was 100% clear. And I booked the flight without an argument with my mind. That's the key. Because yeah. And by the way, I love what you do because that's what I do. You set a committee. You get together with the committee. I get together with the negative dude, the devil dude, JR, the Christ. And we all get in there. And no one, and by the way, when it's time to attack me, I always would give the negativity 1 minute to express themselves. You're an idiot. You're worthless. You lack. I give them about a minute. And then I just go, okay, meeting's over. You're out. And I kick them out. And then I have intuitive. First of all, I do everything after meditation. I check. I get rid of whatever noise is around me. Mm-hmm. And I think David Allen says it too. Mind like water is when the best ideas come.
Yeah.
Mind like water. So you get everything done, pay your bills, and go for a walk. And in that walk, everything's quiet. And then you get the download. And the download can be a breath, a sound, a inspirational sparkle. And you're going, that's it. I'm going home. And you book it. And when I booked it, I just kind of got the ballpark, and then everybody kind of adjusted to me. Now remember, I had to do Insight 4, so I knew that date.
Mm-hmm. And that was in Bulgaria for
at least. That was in Bulgaria. And the question is, everything would fall into place with that. I knew I was invited. Bulgaria's leading cutting edge. They're very open there, and there's cases and people die and people are vaccinated and people are not vaccinated. And then life goes on. And then there's other places where, no, you better wear a mask or you're going to go to hell. And there, when I went to Russia, I found that to both. And so my point, Russia was the freest of them all, by the way.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So what did I do? I gathered data for myself. It's not to be published in any medical journal. Mm-hmm. The data is what JR taught us. Be intellectually honest. Remember what he said. If you're not sure about what you want to do, gather the information and lean in on it. That's not clear. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'll lean on it and go here. Like right now, I'm trying to book a flight. I'm going back to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go right into the storm and do the work. So you do the opposite. Okay, so if you don't know if it's clear, then make sure you're not acting or reacting out of fear. So handle your fear, handle your judgments, and get mind like water. If you get the mind like water and the emotions like calm, then comes the inspirational light that says, yeah, go do that, don't do that. That's not clear. Cancel it. Remember how JR would cancel a trip last minute?
Yeah, he would always. And one of the things of how he committed to something is he'd say health and schedule permitting. And let's just, as you're talking, I just want to share with our listeners a couple of skills that I know you use, I've used. One of the things that you can learn from getting things done, I use the skill also in my business environment, is the weekly review, which is,
yes,
you know, getting all these different areas in your life and putting it into a system that's organized, prioritized, calendarized, so you kind of know where these things sit. And that starts to empty part of what I call the monkey mind. Freeform writing from an emotional sense, this is where you will write all your thoughts and feelings out. It doesn't need to be legible, completed, and you do not reread it, and you burn the paper so that nothingness or that emotional thoughts are leaving it. It also starts to tap into the unconscious of where things are kind of, as they would say at the University of Santa Monica, stackers or stacking plates, but it's really where things are stacked up, if you will, in the unconscious, because so many people are living in what I call the busy trap. You know, these are the ways to start, some techniques that I'm happy to speak about with people around how to get into that space that you're talking about, which would also include doing spiritual exercises. It's creating a space and an invitation for the light to come in and follow the light and be, I don't want to say brave with it per se, but it's like forthright. You're confident in your convictions, you know?
So. I think you said it. Yeah. And I'm glad you're bringing that part up. Part of it is balancing the world and the spirit. You can't get all spiritual and cripple your body here. So yeah. Go work out, go do your mind, read some books, keep your basic self happy, and then go do some exercises, go do spiritual exercise, go back, pay some bills, go in. You know what I mean? If you just do one, everything in moderation, if you go cray cray on spirituality, that's not what JR set up. That's why he brought the game to the Western world, yeah. Capitalism.
Practical spirituality.
That's right. Otherwise, we'd all be in caves in our underwear. Yeah. And that's not bad. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying he upped the level, and I think Yogananda did the same thing. And Sawan Singh, go to the West so you can burn karma while you're being spiritual.
Yeah. So just in terms of time, Zeus, we've come to the end of our time here, and I just want to thank you so much for doing this. We have so much more we could do, and I'd be more than happy to do more podcasts with you. But for our listeners, how people could find you, your services you provide, and some of the materials you've written.
Yeah, I've got a couple books. My website's theloveofamaster.com or thedreamsofamaster.com or jzugarcia.com. It all gets directed to one. I do spiritual counseling. I speak, whatever. You know, I and some people call me for acting. I help them out with that. But that's the website. Enjoy it.
And then so that for our listeners, that'll go on to our podcast notes. And so you can find Zeus there. I couldn't recommend him highly enough for someone who wants to grow spiritually and learn a lot of the things that we've been talking about. You're a powerful man, and I love you with all my heart, my friend.
Right. Thank you. And if anybody wants to know, johnroger.org is good. john-roger.org.
That's our teacher, and that's where we go.
David Allen. Just look up David Allen. He's got good stuff. And also you, Mark, what's your website?
My website goes on there. So markharradine.com.
Damn right.
Alrighty. So
hey, I'm really